Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
For some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Alex has been asked a couple of times about, you know, possibly you playing first base. Is that something you're open to if they ask?
No, you miss it on.
They had the conversation with me. I don't think me personally, it's the best decision. After they asked me to play a different position, and I don't even have 2 months playing this position to all of a sudden have me try to play another position. So from my end, it doesn't seem like a good decision.
Assuming the conversation, like, it was with Alex and Craig Breslin.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it was the GM that I spoke with. I'm not certain what he has with me. He played ball, and I would like to think that he knows that changing positions like that isn't easy.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, second hour of a show. We're having fun today on a beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago. David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock, playing a little chin music. That was through his interpreter, Rafael Devers, the disgruntled Boston Red Sox.
Let's disgruntled say, DH.
Infielder.
DH.
Infielder.
DH.
Bruce, if he has a $315 million contract, he is whatever the Red Sox want him to be. He will play wherever they tell him to play. And for him to...
So if Mitch and Ryan tell you to come here at midnight and start doing your show...
I'll be here at 11:30.
Wow. You're a team guy.
I'm an employee. I am a person who understands the hierarchy and respects it. Rafael Devers does not. He is not immune to structure. He does not have the final say. He is a player. Players play where the manager
I'm
tells
on
them
his
to
side.
Play. You're on his side.
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
I'm on his side, and here's why I'm on his side.
All right, why?
Okay, so in the offseason, first of all, Rafael Devers, the best player on the Boston Red Sox. Top hitter, has been for 5 or 6 years, paid all that money that you just spoke of for a reason, mm-hmm. Not because he's a nice guy. He's because he's the best hitter, one of the best hitters in the American League and the dominant hitter in the Red Sox. So they come to him in January and they say, we're thinking about signing a third baseman here. He's going to make a lot of money. We know you've been the third baseman. We'd like to sign Bregman and have him play third base. We know this is tough on you because you've been our third baseman, and we signed you to be our star third baseman. Will you move to DH? And he did, okay? Wasn't pleased about it, not happy. Again, all-star third baseman, top hitter in the league. So they bring Bregman in. They give him $120 million for 3 years. They get an injury 10 days ago to their first baseman. He's out for the year.
The year.
Yeah.
That's a season ender.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why you mentioned Andrew Vaughn as a trade potential happening because of the scuttlebutt surrounding their need for a first baseman.
So they go to Devers and they say, look, we don't need you as a DH anymore. We need you to play another position you've never played. You were a DH. You had to learn how to adjust that.
Okay.
Now we want you to play another position you've never played. It's called first base.
Yes.
Okay. And he says, sorry, already changed one position. I'm doing okay. It took me a while. I'm doing okay here. Don't make me go and embarrass myself at the first base.
Did he say that through an interpreter, or did he just, is there a universal language for diva?
It's a, no.
I mean, that's.
Devers, not diva.
Okay, Rafael Diva. That's who he is.
So that's your interpretation. My interpretation is he's an important player, important hitter on your team. He doesn't want to go and embarrass himself. First of all, he wasn't a really good third baseman.
That's why they gave him $315 million, because he was not really good?
Third baseman.
Okay.
One of the top hitters in the American League.
He was a serviceable third baseman.
Now you want him to go in a quarter of the season up and learn a new position and possibly embarrass himself and the team by playing there, right?
Let me introduce you to Mookie Betts. He can play any position happily,
great
willingly.
Teammate. Great
teammate.
Great athlete.
Great podcaster.
Great athlete. Not a good Devers, not a great athlete.
Okay. But first base.
Great hitter.
Of all the positions in the infield, you can hide your first baseman.
No, you can't.
If I have a group of four guys and the worst athlete among those four, I'm going to put him at first base more than any other position.
Let me ask you another question then. Who gets more balls than the first baseman? Who handles more balls in the infield?
The catcher.
Okay. All right. Good answer. The first baseman, the topic about how first base is a non-athlete and a guy anybody can play there is such a misnomer. It's a joke. Okay. Not everyone can play there well. Okay. If you don't have a good first baseman, I'll give you the example of the Cubs last year, beginning of the season. They're breaking in Michael Busch as a first baseman. He played mostly second and third base in his career. And you know
great
what?
Great example. Thank you for bringing this up. Thank you for bringing this up.
All right. You're going to tell me what the great,
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to tell you, Bruce.
Yeah. He was not a good first baseman to begin with. Okay.
No, he wasn't.
And he worked his tail off to become a first baseman. And he's one of the better ones now, I think, in the National League at first base. He's really done well. But he had a whole spring training and the beginning of the year to get better, right? Devers now is looking at, I don't know this position. I don't know how well I'll do. I'm afraid of embarrassing myself.
Then he's a terrible teammate.
Okay.
And a bad competitor.
Or a really good scout of himself and knowing his
limitations. That's my job. I'm the manager. I'm the general manager. I'm the head scout. That's my job to tell you what I think you're good at.
It's not 1950.
It doesn't have to be 1950. It can be 2025. It can be 2016, where the Cubs had a lot of guys who could do various things. Chris Bryant. You want to tell me Chris Bryant? If he played diva, he would never have played right field, or he would never have played left field. He would never have played first base or wherever they asked him to play. Chris Bryant was a team guy.
Sure. And he was, you know what? But there's one thing different about him.
He was athletic.
He was a he's a baseball athlete.
Don't make Devers
into a great baseball athlete because you have a need.
No, I don't. Okay. It's not me personally. If you're saying that Rafael Devers, above everything else, is what? A hitter. He's an elite hitter.
He is.
All you need is his bat in the lineup. If you're Rafael Devers, you're making $300 million because you can hit. And as long as you still can hit, wherever I play
the
field.
How many games have the Cubs lost this year where a guy couldn't play third or a guy missed a ball at first?
That's a problem. But if their choice is to take that risk.
At least three or four games, right?
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, three or four games.
But
it's big.
Is he a bigger liability or risk at playing first base than he was when he was playing third?
That's not the question.
The question is, what is the best thing for the Boston Red Sox
now,
moving forward? And if it's
Rafael, go get a first baseman.
Well, they don't have one yet. And until they do,
okay.
Rafael Devers balking at this move just tells
you. I'm not telling you he's the greatest teammate that ever lived. I will get killed with this philosophy, and I don't really care, because if he doesn't think he can handle it, mm-hmm. I don't want him to be there.
If he doesn't think he can handle it, or if he resists wanting to handle it, I wouldn't want him in my clubhouse.
Okay, well, that's $315 million.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Yeah.
No, it's the only conversation.
But from the team standpoint, and I know from the player standpoint, they look at it a lot differently. If I'm investing $315 million in you, which is essentially almost $30 million per season, that is your salary,
mm-hmm.
you are playing where I tell you to play.
Okay.
You are, even if you feel like it's limited, even if you're compromising.
Thank you, Connie Mack and John McGraw. It's 2025, all right? You go tell somebody that works for you now, this is what you're doing now. Now we want you to do this. You're leaving for another job? Oh, okay.
Where's he going to go? Where's Rafael Devers going to go?
Wherever you trade him.
You're going to trade that contract?
How many no trades does he have?
That's why you wanted to bring up Rafael Devers to Chin Music. I thought you wanted to discuss a possibility
of the Cubs having a conversation. Because I knew there was a good chance you and I would have a different opinion on this.
That's good.
I want to get the best out of this player, and I want to. I know his limitations. Okay. His limitations are, I'm a hitter, I help us win, don't ask me to go out there and embarrass myself at first base. Your perspective is a well-taken one. If you're a good teammate, and you know, the way you're brought up in athletics, you do what the team needs you to do, okay?
Big bat, bigger ego, good hitter, bad team guy.
I don't want him to stink at first.
Well, I'm willing to risk him stinking at first if he can hit in my batting order, and he can do it all happily.
There is an ego problem here, but that's one of the reasons why you signed him, because he believes he's a great hitter.
I want to get to a couple phone calls because got people lining up to weigh in. But Bruce, before we get there, answer this question then. We know the size of the contract. Have to address it because you brought it up. You brought it up, Bruce. So the Cubs need a third baseman. Rafael Devers, not a great defensive third baseman, but that would be an elite bat. Jed Hoyer needs somebody to play third. Is this a possibility to even discuss for the Cubs?
He would make a great DH for the Cubs.
Look at that contract, though.
Wonderful DH.
They already got a DH.
No, he'll go in the trade.
You think you're going to trade Say Suzuki for Rafael Devers?
I would make it among the DH. I would think about it, because you have to have Devers as your DH, but it's not going to solve your third base problem.
It would if you play him at third.
No, you're going to be the first guy after about a month to say, we got to get this guy back into DH and off of third base. He's losing us games over there.
Why don't you like Seiya Suzuki?
I love Seiya Suzuki.
You just traded him.
He's a DH. Well, you can't trade. I have to inform you, after all these years of you covering sports, that you can't get something good for nothing in
return. I agree. 217, though, is thinking what I'm thinking. Who are you kidding? They're not going to spend that kind of money on Rafael Devers. He's in the
but
second year of a $300
million
contract.
It's not the reason he's a selfish player. It's the reason that Boston doesn't want to trade him. He's a left-handed power bat, and he's going to help them try to get into the playoffs this year.
Okay, I think Devers would be an addition to the Cubs that would put them over the top if he's playing third base. If you're taking Suzuki out of that lineup.
He's not playing third base. He's positioned at third base. He's not playing there, okay? Because balls will be bouncing off of his knee, his elbow. You know, it's just, why do you think they went out and got Bregman, other than the fact that he's one of the better third basemen in baseball. The reality is that, you know, in their conversations, they said, and we're going to be a much better defensive team.
I have to follow up because in equal time, and I know the answer to this question, and it sounds somewhat absurd. And if Mully were in the studio, he'd be cackling or laughing or fuming at me. But if you're the White Sox and you have Andrew Vaughn to dangle to the Red Sox, would you call them about Rafael Devers?
The White Sox?
Yes.
They're taking on a $315 million
See, okay, asked and answered.
I just cackle.
I'm asking.
Cackle. Cackle.
I'm asking for the record, counselor.
I'm giving you the cackle answer.
All right. 312-644-6767. Let's get out to the phone lines. John is in Niles. John, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Gentlemen, good show. Bruce, I love you. You're kind of running around in circles there tonight. I'm glad you brought up Saya. So he was told you're the DH this year. We've got Kyle Tucker. Saya wasn't a great right fielder from what I had seen.
DH last year, too.
A bit. Now, believe me, I'm getting to a couple of points here. So tonight, Ian Happ grabs his hamstring and says, I can't go anymore. I'm done. I'm walking to the dugout. Counsel goes, Saya, go out to the left. I've never played left field. I'm not playing left field. And then when they told Devers they're getting Bregman, he made a stink about that for a month and finally did it. And then David makes a great point that you're worried the guy's going to embarrass himself at first base. Okay, look, we're going to try and get a first baseman. For the next week, 2 weeks, we're going to ask you to play first base while we get somebody. And he won't do that. I don't know how you can defend the guy's position because you're worried he's going to embarrass
him. He will. He will.
I will. Fine. But they don't have an alternative at the moment. And then the other thing with the 1950s, and I do love your insight. You're the best. I mean that sincerely. You sound more, exactly. It's the when somebody tells you they love you. You sound more like Jack Brickhouse back in the day with don't let this guy's batting average fool you when the Cubs are losing 100 games. You know, I remember a couple of times Tim Blackwell was coming up and don't let this guy fool you. You know, he was hitting 180. Or the other guy, this guy's ready to break out. My brother went with acne. So.
Thanks, John. Great phone call. Yeah, that's a great phone call. Yeah, it's like Andrew Vaughn.
So many people call and say, I love you, and I, you know, automatically it's
you're waiting but for you're the shoe to drop.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, he didn't call you an idiot. He just he's playfully okay. disagreeing with you.
You know what? Isn't that the beauty of our show and the talk radio?
Yes, it is. And Ron is on the south side. Our buddy wants to weigh in on the Devers situation. Good morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. You know, I love this show. And I'm going to make a quick comment on Vaughn, too. But right now, the jury has not made a decision, y'all. Yeah, but you counselors are making it. So this is a great, great, great topic, y'all. And both of you all are making good arguments. But here's my thing is that, okay, I think you're just in the regular workplace. What's the old word? Insubordination. And we know it's different in the workplace. But see, now.
Long-term contract.
Yep.
There you go. But see, here's the thing is that even with that term insubordination, there are times when an employee or athlete, if they are uncomfortable. So I respect that. Now if you refuse to foul, as you said, Dave, you still have to foul. So it's very interesting. But I do respect Devers for saying that because, I mean, he has a right to say it. You know, but he still needs to pick up the glove and go. But so that's it. You know, you all are making
that's a good point, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. Great to hear from you as always.
So he agrees with both of us. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, okay, you did moan about moving off a third. You did it. Now you're the DH. Moan for a while about this, and then go out there in batting practice every day with a first baseman's mitt and try to get sufficient there, right?
Yes.
So that would be what a good ball player is going to do. I'm not playing it now, but let me practice at this position, and let's see if I can help in the next 10 days or 2 weeks.
323, always love when older dudes talk about employees having any sort of opinions. Insubordination is for the military. Yeah, I just think this is part of being
What's this age discrimination
thing? I don't know. It's fun.
Why do they call you old?
I know. Look, I understand. This is about being, to me, a good teammate. And wanting to put yourself out there to be in a position to win more games. Rafael Devers, as Ryan Porth, our boss, points out, he has led the majors in errors each of the years that he has played third base. He's a liability
at
third base.
There.
But if he was horrible at anything, to the degree that it cut into his production at the plate, they would never have given him a 10-year, $313 million contract.
He's gotten worse. he can hit. He can really hit, and he's gonna and they really want him to continue to hit and drive in runs, which is the hardest thing to do in baseball, regardless of how important your defense is. The guy that can hit home runs and drive in runs, he's gonna have a lot of jobs.
Craig Breslow is a smart guy. He is the general manager of the Red Sox. They believe this is a serious enough issue that John Henry, the owner, with his front office, flew to Kansas City, met with Rafael Devers. That doesn't happen unless they feel like this is near crisis mode. Bruce, I wonder, is this something where they will come out of this meeting and look at this situation? Will they be seeking a trade? And I ask that because, we talk about hypotheticals. It's never going to happen with the White Sox, but the Cubs are in a position where it's win now. That's the mentality.
I mean, you're not trading him.
Okay.
It's not happening.
The Red Sox, you don't think will trade him? Or even entertain
it's
offers.
Just like, so now you've lost your first baseman for the year. Now your top run producer, you're going to get rid of him.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand. Okay. That's
fair. It's just like they knew he, you call him a diva. Okay. He is. All right. But he's still one of the better hitters in baseball.
He's their diva.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, he's not, it's not like he's going to go out there and not try to get a hit every day. Right. He's going to help you win. The Red Sox have a chance this year with some of the additions they made, especially at third base, better defense. And a guy that's hitting the ball off the wall to go to the playoffs. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot to trade a guy because he's considered difficult and won't go to another position and play.
Before we break in, we've got Steve Stone coming up at 10:30. Do you see this as a possibility with the Red Sox needing a first baseman for Anthony Rizzo to have a full circle moment in his career?
Anthony Rizzo?
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Playing baseball now or
no? Not to my knowledge.
Okay,
is he playing?
Yeah,
I think I saw him in a studio last night. Apple Plus, right? Was that the case?
Yeah, he made his debut for Apple TV yesterday.
Okay, but he still have bat will travel. I don't know what shape his back is in. I'm asking the question because it would be a full circle moment.
Anthony,
he started with the Red Sox.
Anthony
correct?
Rizzo is one of my favorite players of all time and people,
which is why I asked you this question.
But last year in the World Series, he proved that he was through.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think he proved that he had a bad back. How old is he? 35?
Yes.
I think that there have been
his back has been a problem for him his whole career, and at 35. It's probably more like 45 for him right
all
now.
Right. So I'm saying,
I think he's really going to be one of the better analysts in baseball.
Okay. I still wonder if he's got anything left in that bat.
Well, they might check. I mean, they can kick the tires. I just think, don't you think you need to be playing for a month before it could come up and help you?
As you just said, the Red Sox have designs on making the playoffs. If I were a Red Sox front office member looking at October, maybe, I would be wondering if a guy who has been there before and done pretty well still has anything left.
I think maybe they should call Nomar. He's doing pre and post for the Dodgers.
What's Jose Abreu up to?
About 45.
Okay, well, they have options. These are, you have to come up with creative solutions if you have a problem like the Red Sox are facing.
I think they're trying their best right now.
I'd rather have Anthony Rizzo than Andrew Vaughn.
You would?
I think I would.
Right now, today?
If I'm the Red Sox, I would rather, if I'm gambling on a first baseman for this season, I think I would roll the dice on Anthony Rizzo before I would trade for Andrew Vaughn.
You know, it depends what form of Anthony Rizzo is left.
It's a good question. Yeah. Interesting topic. Maybe Steve Stone has a thought. I know he can tell us what the Sox did right in winning on Friday night and what they're looking forward to tonight with Shane Smith back on the mound for the White Sox. We'll talk to Stoney next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Pops up. Sosa underneath, and that's ball game. Sox take game one of this three-game series, 6-2 over the Marlins.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Sports Radio Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline, download the Circus Sports app today, is Steve Stone from CHSN, the White Sox analyst. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, David. How are you? And Bruce, hope things are going well.
Things are going well. Sox got a victory. They're 1-0 at home in the Pope Leo era. It was a festive night on the South Side, Steve. That had to be a welcome victory for a team that was struggling in Kansas City.
Well, it certainly was. I mean, that was a tough series, but the Sox were in three of those four games. They just let things slip away. And what I loved about the game last night, and granted, look, Miami's not going to win any championships anytime soon, but that being said, they're still a major league team, and you still have to put them away when you have your foot on their throat. And so last night, they executed really well in the bottom of the seventh. That the bunt by Amaya was just great. It was a safety squeeze. It worked to perfection. And so we're starting to see some glimmers of better baseball consistently. And one of the things, and it'll be the challenge for Will and Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister, is work out some sort of workable back end of the bullpen. Because as we know, it hasn't been the best situation for the Sox over the last year plus. And hopefully they can resolve that, because those outs, 25, 6, and 7, are the toughest outs to get in the game. And you have to be used to doing it. And right now they don't have the official closer.
Is that a product of, hey, that's the last thing we have to worry about right now on our team because we need to develop good young starters. We're trying to develop an offense. We're breaking in a lot of young players. Is that possibly when they're putting the team together over the last 2 years, we'll get around to the bullpen when we need to, when we were more competitive? Or is that something that has to be addressed the same way as starting pitching?
Well, let me answer that by giving you kind of an example. So you have this this battleship that has a deadly 25-mile gun on it, and that's really great. Except that if your enemy is 50 miles away, that gun doesn't do you any good. And I think in the calculus of where this team is at this point, they felt that after winning 41 games last year, they weren't going to need a whole lot of closer situations, because these guys have to be grown if you're not going to trade for them. Trading for them is very expensive, and developing them is the best way to do it. I don't think Chris, who had a lot of holes to address, felt that they were going to be in 90 or 100 games this year, so I don't think it was a priority. However, one of the surprising things is that this team has been in a whole lot of games, only to see them slip away at the end. And so I think maybe they're at the point where they're seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. And you probably, the cheapest way to do it is not trading your assets for that back end guy. It's raising your own. And right now, not being conversant with the entire minor league system and the arms that they have down there, there are some candidates, but right now they're choosing to start them. I think they want to address the starting rotation, which you guys know has been very good lately. They're not giving up a whole lot of runs, and I thought Bryce Wilson last night was really good, going five, giving up the one run. And so the rotation is coming together. What this team does need is power, and I think they're trying to address that with Tim Elko coming up. They'll have to find out if that power and that batting average will translate from a AAA guy to a major leaguer. But power has become the most difficult thing to get in baseball these days. It used to be pitching. Still, you'd love to have the pitching, but pitching you can find. Power, specifically left-handed power, is really difficult to find. And I think in our ballpark, which is a bandbox, when it starts to get warmer, you don't want to be at a disadvantage 81 times a year. You don't want teams to come in with more power than you have. And if that is, then it's a home field disadvantage, not an advantage, and I think they're trying to address that.
Steve, you mentioned Tim Elko makes his major league debut tonight, scheduled two against the Marlins, and I think there's a lot of excitement among Sox fans who've been clamoring for this promotion, as well as many of us in the media wondering what took so long. What are your realistic expectations for a guy who's a 26-year-old, he's a 26-year-old prospect whose main tool is the home run ball, as you alluded to? What's reasonable to expect from Tim Elko, and how do you think he'll be used?
Well, he's either going to be at first base or a designated hitter, but you didn't bring him up to sit and observe for too long. I think he's going to be in the lineup. I think you want him to get his at bats. I think they want to find out again if that power translates from AAA to the major leagues, and the only way to do that is to give him a chance to play. They're trying to address the void of power, and hopefully Tim can provide that. But as you guys know, it's a quantum leap from AAA to the major leagues for a couple of different reasons. But one specifically is you're going to find those AAA pitchers might make, and usually do make, maybe two or three mistakes in each at-bat. So if you miss the first one or foul it back, you're probably going to get something hittable during that at-bat. But in the major leagues, sometimes you don't get any pitches to hit, or you get one. And if you foul it back or swing through it, you're not going to get another one. And that's the biggest difference. As a major league hitter, you have to pounce on, one, the pitcher's mistakes, and two, when you see something that you want to hit, you have to go and hit it and hit it hard, because that pitch in that location, in that at bat, is probably not going to come around again.
Steve, we're watching on the north side a lot of games that have been won with small ball, good defense, and outstanding base running. Not good, but outstanding base running. What are the White Sox capable of as far as small ball and base running? And is that an area where they can continue to increase their victory margins or victories themselves throughout the year if they become really good at it?
Well, this team, as a team, has got to do a couple of different things. One is understand how to win the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, because most of the games are determined in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. And if you can limit the mistakes, execute both offensively and defensively, and figure out the back end of the bullpen, then it's a lot easier to win in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And so this is a team that's trying to learn how to do that. And look, they made a mistake early. They had a very good pickoff play, and Sosa wasn't at the bag. He missed the sign. But they are trying to take advantage of little things. And I think you saw it last night with Matt Theis. He stole just his seventh base of his career, but he realized they weren't looking at him at first base. You don't expect a fairly slow-running catcher to be able to do that, but Matt was able to take advantage of it. And it's that kind of heads-up baseball that's trying to be the calling card of the Sox. And I think Will and his staff are doing a really good job of addressing the problems when they happen, make everything a teaching and learning moment, and try to make sure they don't happen again if it's on the negative side, or if it's on the positive side, see if you can emulate that consistently. So this is a team still in the growth stage of what they're going to be, but the one thing you have to do is you have to get a little more power in that lineup, and I believe that it's difficult to do if you can find it. I think that 81 games you're going to play at the rate shouldn't be a disadvantage. It should be an advantage, as most teams will take advantage of their home turf. And the Sox right now aren't built to take advantage of 81 games at their ballpark.
Steve, I'd like to ask you a Cubs-related question if I could, because
sure.
Bruce, earlier in the program, he likened tonight's Cade Horton debut to ones made by Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, pitchers that the Cubs drafted, developed, and certainly made their debut in a Cub uniform. And you were there for both of those events. And I just wonder, number one, if you remember both of those events, and what maybe is going through the head of a Cade Horton as he steps to a major league mound for the first time?
Well, he's going to have a whole lot of butterflies. And what should happen is the nerves should dissipate when he goes out to make his first pitch. It's a really exciting time. You're getting a chance to pitch in the major leagues. That's the goal of all of these players. You know, you learn in stages, though, David. The first thing you learn when you sign a major league, when you sign a professional contract, you have to learn how to play professional baseball, because you're almost without exception coming from a limited schedule, and now you're going into the minor leagues where it's about 140 games. You have to learn how to keep your intensity up, your concentration up, your physical aspect of your game. You have to learn how to do that, and you have to learn how to do it, say, 140 times, or maybe 130, depending on how many games you're going to play. So the first goal is to learn how to play professional baseball. The second goal is to learn how to play Major League Baseball. That's really important, and a lot of people don't realize that the average professional player never sees a day in the major leagues, not one day. So when you get to the major leagues, that's a goal that's accomplished. But the third part of that is learning how to play winning baseball, and that takes a while. Because once you learn how to play professional baseball, once you learn how to play Major League Baseball, learning how to play winning baseball is something that you acquire over time. And when you get that, you're going to be hard to beat. But understand something. All of these guys that get to the major leagues, they were stars everywhere they went. They dominated every league they were in because you have supreme talent to get to the major leagues. And let me look at Edgar Caro as an example. He struck out 6 times in 2 games in Kansas City. And he started swinging at pitches out of the zone, which is uncharacteristic for him. But when you start to press, you expand that strike zone. And there's a good chance that Edgar never struggled at any level. He kind of dominated the levels he was at because he's a switch hitter. He's a good hitter. He's learning how to catch, learning how to be a major league catcher. but he's starting to struggle a bit. And with that, he's expanding his strike zone, which is a self-defeating endeavor. You expand your strike zone, you're not going to hit very much, and the pitchers are going to take advantage of that. So he's in the learning process, and that's where the Sox are across the board. And as far as the Cubs are concerned, look, they're playing really good, solid baseball. I think there's no teams that are great except perhaps for the Dodgers. San Diego's great. The Mets are very good. The Yankees have their moments. But the great teams are few and far between. And so if you can execute, and as we know, boys, speed never slumps. If you've got that, you got a big advantage. And as far as the Cubs playing small ball, that's what the Sox are aspiring to. And they're doing a better job of it, but you're still going to run into speed bumps.
My last question for you, Steve, is do you like the opener? Do you not like the opener? They're going to use an opener tonight before they bring Cade Horton in. Just more time for him to think about it in the bullpen. Your thoughts?
I like the opener at times. And if the opener is going to get the people out he's charged with getting out, then it's really a good strategy. But the opener is designed so that whoever is going to be the bulk reliever, which is actually the starting pitcher, only he's starting in the second or third, depending on how long the opener goes, he's not going to have to face that real good top of the lineup for that third time in about the fifth inning, sometimes the sixth inning. He's going to miss the best hitters the third time around, and I think that's one of the reasons why the opener was really developed, and Tampa Bay brought it to an art form. Again, it's really good if that opener does get the people out. He's also facing the top of the lineup in what traditionally is the toughest part for a starting pitcher. You can get to a lot of starting pitchers in the first and perhaps second inning, but if you don't get them, you're not going to get them. And so that's why the opener was brought into the fore by the Tampa Bay Rays. I like it at times. I don't like it a lot because it's a good way to use five or six or seven pitchers in a game. You don't want to decimate your bullpen early, and unfortunately that's what happens if the opener doesn't get it done. And so I think the Cubs are correct in this. They want to ease their very prized pitching prospect in, not allow him to face the top of the order, and a pretty good order it is. I mean, if you can avoid facing Soto, that's probably a good thing. And so I think that was one of the reasons why the Cubs are doing that.
I hope they take him to Dairy Queen afterwards, too. I just think that the kid's an accomplished young pitcher. He's got a pitch, right? So, yeah. I understand all the logic of that, Steve. Outstanding. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. You're the best.
Thanks, guys. And the Major League has a lot of lessons to teach their young players, and the only way they can learn them is to actually be out on the field. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm looking forward already to that series where our boys will travel to the north side in Wrigley Field, and it's coming up in the not-too-distant future.
You're right. It's coming up next week. We'll see you then. Steve Stone from CHSN, the White Sox analyst and Sox, back in action at Wright Field tonight against the Marlins, going for the second straight 6-10. First pitch, Shane Smith on the mound. And as for the Cubs, you know where to find them. You can find them right here on The Score tonight. Cubs Radio with the Cubs and the Mets resuming the series. Cubs looking to break that losing streak. Cade Horton on the mound. Pregame coverage at 5:40. First pitch, 6:15. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We'll be back after this to wrap things up and Inside the Clubhouse.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Are you nervous at all? Excited?
Yeah, I would say, you know, there's a lot of excitement. Obviously, those nerves are there too. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's baseball. And so just going about my business the same way I would, no matter, you know, if I was 5 years old or now. Like, it's still the same game. Three outs in an inning, like, it's so, yeah, I mean, just calming those nerves down and really honing in on the excitement.
Wrapping things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good get, Zach Zaidman. Cade Horton in the building, City Field. That was last night. Bigger night tonight for the young man. Makes his major league debut. Probably somewhere around the third inning, Bruce. Is that your prediction? Brad Keller will start for the Cubs against the Mets. Tyler McGill on the mound for the Mets. And we're going to see Cade Horton sooner rather than later.
I just hope Keller is able to do his job. He's been really good so far this year. I just hope it's not a 3-4 game that Horton walks in on.
Let me ask you this. If it is, do you use him?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, he hasn't pitched since last Sunday. He's got to pitch. You know, you have...
If it's 4-0 in the third inning, he's coming in?
I mean...
Boy, that'd be a downer. That'd be a huge downer.
You have to bring him in. I mean, you can't... What, are you going to wait till Monday or Tuesday?
Sunday.
No, they already have a pitcher for
Sunday.
Can't
do that tomorrow. All right, I get it. Yeah, that's why I don't like the piggyback.
Boyd's got to pitch on Sunday.
Boyd's got to pitch tomorrow. Yeah. Keep him on the regular rest. I get all that. All
so,
right,
you know, it's just a hard thing. You know, it's just like, are we just, you know, we're just making things too confusing.
Overthinking it. We do that all the time. We overanalyze. We do that all the time.
Meanwhile, is PCA in a little bit of a mini slump right now?
4-17 since last Sunday. You know what makes it seem like he's in a mini slump? I think we're talking off the air. He's got caught stealing twice.
Yeah, that's...
In the last week. In the last five games, he's been thrown out twice.
Last Sunday when I was in Milwaukee, it was the first time he got thrown out. And counsel immediately went to talk to him when he came off the field. And he said to him, and I asked counsel what he said. He said, well, he said, Pete's got a red-green light, but sometimes it's got to go amber. And if you don't get a good jump, like he didn't, you know, we'll have a conversation about it. And they did.
He did not get a good jump.
No.
And I wonder what that conversation is like, because he didn't get
it. It's very quick. It's like, you know, I mean, counsel, he doesn't let anything, you know, just sit there and wait. He talks to people. It's not punishment. It's instruction. It's about being better, about being smarter.
Counsel just saves levity for Pope jokes?
Well, he's really good at that. He might have a whole routine he's working on.
He is. When he volunteered the information as we came into the program that Pope Leo did not maybe get admitted to Notre Dame.
You know who has a really good act? Steve Rosenblum.
Yeah, he's coming up next. Yes, Steve Rosenblum will be next. Bruce, we got a lot of people to thank, starting with Sean Sears, our producer. We also feel like Steve Stone was a good guest. And Anthony Cagoule, the Iowa pitching coach, helped us understand and get ready for Cade Horton's debut tonight. And thank you for lining up those interviews.
Thanks for being a great co-host every week. It's always fun.
Well, unlike Rafael Devers, Bruce, I try to be a good teammate.
Yeah, well... I didn't say your opinions were always good, but people can follow me on X, MLB Bruce Levine, on our website, 670score.com. David, I'm out to watch the debut of Tim Elko tonight.
That'll be fun tonight at the Rake Field. And Bruce, will talk to you Monday morning on the Mullinghaw Show, Monday mornings 5:30 to 10. Keep it right here, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Steve Rosenblum is next.
The Duck Snort.